Hello everyone and welcome back to Bone Show Chat. It's number 878 and it's Monday the 5th of January. Happy New Year everyone. And I'm
Happy New Year.
Joined by Joe today as always and special guest Jeremy Harpham. Hello Jeremy.
Hello Ted, Joe and Happy New Year to you and everyone listening.
Yay. And the thing of note that you did in relation to PSC recently was you went to the pub meet. In fact, because Joe couldn't go, you almost kind of led the pub meet, really. So yep. We'll come to that a bit later in the show and have a natter about that. But you did come onto the old look PSC we just discovered in about the middle of last year. So it's been a while since you've been on. So hopefully we can get to all the stuff that you've been doing and catch up with that as well in due course. So phoneshowchat.uk is our website. There's two S's in the middle there, so be careful of that. And all of the stuff that you want to talk, what we're going to talk about, well, it's usually covered in our MeWe group. So links out to that from tedsalmon.com and also at Podhub UK. So watch out for that one. Now, we thought as it was the beginning of a new year, we'd have a look back firstly at our top five picks of phone of the year, if you like, for 2025. So I thought that perhaps we would spend a few minutes, the three of us, going through that, probably from I was going to say from five down to one, but actually Jeremy, you've arranged yours slightly differently. So let's do yours first and then Joe and I will do our five down to one. So lead us through what your five best phones are of 2025.
Okay, well, thank you, Ted. My top five, not really ranked. I categorized them instead. So I've got the Samsung Z Fold 7 was the best Samsung in 2025. I will say the S25 Ultra was close to that, but I think the Fold showed the most improvement between the generations. The iPhone 17 is the best iPhone. I think the base iPhone is the best one. In the latest round of releases,
because of size,
it's not just because of size. They put the added the extra camera to it, didn't they? I just think it's from a typical iPhone user. It's just the best all round package that there's been for some time in that base iPhone.
I think the refresh rate added, the higher storage. Yep. There's some really good upgrades there. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughter was looking to upgrade because she's on an iPhone 13 at the moment, and it's like, well, if you're going to go to it, unless you need the video and the stuff on Pro, you don't really need anything more than just the base model. So it's the best proposition for most people, I think. And then next one's best camera phone, and I've selected the Oppo Find X9 Pro for that one. There may be some Xiaomi fans, I should say, out there that won't agree with that one. But so that's my ranking, and a lot of people. There's a bit more on that one later.
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of people would agree with you. Do carry on.
Yeah. Then I think most interesting phone of the last year. I still think the TCL Next Papers, and then last year's was the 60 Ultra, easily the most interesting.
Yep.
For me. And then I think best budget phone has to go to the CMF Phone 2 Pro.
Yeah.
And because I can't count, I've got six, not five. and conveniently, it's actually a six. It's the Fairphone 6. And I'm going to give that one the best honorary mention for the best sustainable phone.
So. Right.
I think that's fair.
And the fair, yes, thank you, Joe. And and it's fair also to say it's the one that looks most like an iPhone. But let's not go there. I have got an iPhone, sorry, a Fairphone 5 on a roll at the moment. And I might, if we have time, come to my thoughts on that. But, right, okay, let's do the quickly do the top five rundown then. Joe, what have you got at number five?
Number five, so I've got the Nothing Phone 3, because although it's gimmicky, I did enjoy the Doc Matrix, and Nothing OS is quite wonderful.
Yeah, totally agree. And I'm enjoying my Nothing Phone 3 here still, which I got on the cheap, as you know. And it didn't make my top five, though, because it was nudged out by some others. My number five goes to the Fairphone 5, which I just mentioned, for lots of reasons, which I might come to later. It's far from the best phone in the world. It's really buggy and difficult often, but there's something about it which I can't quite put my finger on. As I say, we might have time to come to that one later on. Number four?
So the Honor 400 Pro is fantastic value, lovely design, and I'd argue it suits most people's needs. So, yeah, brilliant phone.
Okay, good. My number four is going to go to last year's champion, which is the Moto Edge 50 Neo, which I still consider packs as much as is very, very attractive in lots of categories and ways. And it's still up there, I think. And I don't think anyone that has got one needs to think about upgrading to the 60 Neo, even if they can get their hands on one. So that's my number four. Number three?
I think it's a lovely size phone, the Google Pixel 10 Pro. I wish I'd kept it longer and didn't go for the Pro Max, if I'm honest, but I did. And my unboxing's done very well, funny enough.
On your video, right, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, my number three is... The Nothing Phone 3 was in there. I tell a lie. I completely forgotten I put that in there, but yes, it is. The Nothing Phone 3. So I would agree with you, Joe, with everything you said, putting it number five. Obviously, when I did my top five, I thought it even more highly than you did. Number three for that. Your second favourite?
Well, I was going to put it on a Magic 8 Pro, but that's technically a 2026 phone. So I'll switch that out and put the S25 Ultra because it is a great all-round device, absolute beast. Some great AI features in there, decent cameras, still got the S Pen there. So, yeah, fantastic phone.
Cool. My number two goes to the Pixel 9. In many ways, I find it really hard to ignore the Pixel phones. One reason being is I'm so married to Google all the time with everything. But the Pixel 9, I thought, was a step up from the 8 in some ways. However, the only thing I didn't like about it is it looks like an iPhone. But let's not go there again. and your winner, Joe, for the phone of the year 2025.
I think everyone would guess this. I've been raved about it for a long time. It's the Honor Magic V5. The best foldable I've ever used, and an excellent move on from the fabulous V3, which I also enjoyed. So, yeah, V5 phone of the year for me.
Excellent. And I've never had hands-on with one, but I can clearly see what you're talking about. My phone of the year is going to go to what was your number four phone of the year, which is the Honor 400 Pro. And I think probably if I hadn't have known you, Joe, I might not have been introduced so heavily to this whole Honor thing. I will link in the show notes to my first impressions blog, which I did, which highlights the positive aspects of it. Just what you said, really. Lovely design. Doesn't look like an iPhone. Great value for money, as you say. I just hope that the 500 Pro is going to be as nice this year. Although this has got a long, long support window, so it shouldn't be particularly a problem keeping it going forward. A couple of people chipped in with their top fives. John Trimmer went Galaxy Z Fold 7, number 5, Vivo X200 Ultra, which was in one of your lists at some point, Joe. He put it number 4. Number 3 was the Galaxy S25 Ultra. The Honor Magic V5 with you, as he's put that up in there as well. And the Oppo Find X9 Pro with Jeremy at number one for John. David Burns did a top three, and he went with the S25 Ultra in third, the Magic V5 in second, and the iPhone 17 in first place. So thank you for chipping in, everyone, to that little group. If you really, really had to pick a phone of the year, Jeremy, and not categorise everything, what would it be, do you think? Is that unfair to catch you out with that?
Now you've got me. Well, I'm definitely not going to choose an iPhone on that basis, then, being an Android fan at heart. So
I'm...
Okay, I'll let slip now then that I only recently acquired an Oppo Find X9 Pro. More of that in a bit.
Okay.
So I can't completely say that. I'm going to go Z Fold 7.
Right. I think probably the basis of which being, if you had to give all the other phones away and only keep one, which would it be, that kind of thing?
Yeah, be the Fold 7.
Yeah, the Fold 7.
Yeah.
Cool.
I had some notable mentions, Ted. I think a best mention as a motivator. It's a few Moto devices. So the Razr 60 Ultra is a fantastic flip phone, probably the best flip phone out there, I think. And my SIM's gone into there now. I really like the wood finish, but the other finishes they do are lovely as well. The Motorola Edge 60 Pro, I know you really enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's, again, another great value device, decent enough cameras. And again, I really love the finish, the blue finish on it. It's so nice. Moto do their finishes on their devices really well.
I've got a really boring grey one, I'm afraid. Nothing as interesting. And I tell you what, if the phone had an always-on display, Joe, it would be on my list, I think. But it's just so important to me.
There's a few bits and a slightly stronger chipset, I think. Would make it better. But and the other one I liked, again, it's not an amazing device, but the ThinkPhone 25, I really did like the size of it, and again the finish is lovely with the carbon fiber look to it. If you want a smaller phone, that's really nice.
Absolutely, and that agrees with my number four pick, because it basically is a robusted up H50 Neo, the ThinkPhone 25. So it's a bit more robust with a bit more of a modern screen protection going for it, but essentially the same phone. So I think we agree. Right, okay, so thanks for that anyway, gentlemen. Before we get to guest Gala and Jeremy taking the floor, one quick mention again from Motorola for Sharang Bedaskonkar. Sorry, Sharang. He wants to just say that he's upgraded his Edge 40 Neo to the excellent Edge 60 Pro, which we were just talking about, for about £190 on the deal, and he's loving it so far. The display is brighter. The camera is a miracle for a Moto phone. The speakers are absolutely fantastic compared to the Edge 40 Neo. They're rich and loud. And I couldn't care less about the AI, says Sharang. But yeah, well done to Motorola, he says. And I tend to agree with you. That button on the left-hand side, Sharang, to my mind, is a bit like the Nothing phone, really. The button on the side of the Nothing phone. You think this is a bit of an ornament, really. But I'm sure some people will use it and make the most of it, unlike us poor people. Right, guest Gala, Jeremy, you have the floor. What would you like to talk about?
Well, Ted, it's been nearly a year since I was last on, so I thought I'd give an update for the regular listeners of what's come and what's arrived and what's left, and why, to help people. So, I'll talk about what's changed first. So the TCL 50 Pro Next paper that I had in, I parted company with that one, and actually it's with Jim Fowle, who I think you're talking to next week. So I'll not say any more on that one for now. I like the devices. They're just not quite as good as an e-reader in bright sunlight, which is my direct use case for wanting to try it. So I'm looking forward to hearing as they evolve next paper technology, them getting perhaps to that sort of stage.
Okay.
The Microsoft Surface Duo 2, parted company with that one. I do still have the original Surface Duo, more on that in a minute.
Okay.
And then the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 4. That left to make way for the 7, and that moved on through the MeWe classifieds to Tim Evans, if I remember. And that was the phone that survived the 30-mile-an-hour fall from the roof of the car.
I remember that now, yeah.
The survivor one, yeah. So, it's still going strong, as far as I know.
Did you find that with the Duo 2, you were annoyed by the fact that it didn't open flat back on itself like the original Duo, or is that something you want to come to?
No, the reason I let that go, Ted, was that I always used to use them as a foldable tablet, so I never really folded them back on themselves.
Right.
And the reason I let it go was because, to be honest, it was worth more, and I only use I still only use that occasionally, mainly to emulate retro gaming. And as a result, it didn't really matter which one I kept for that, so I let the one that was worth the most go. Mm-hmm. Also, the Surface Duo, the original, is just a bit sleeker. It's a bit lighter. It fits in a pocket better because it doesn't have the camera bump sticking out the back. I never used the cameras anyway, so you know, didn't really matter. Well, I still have the Pixel 8 Pro. I keep getting tempted to upgrade it to a 10, and I compare the specs and realise there's very so little difference. It's just not worth doing.
Some of the services are missing, though, aren't they? Some of the new services made the way back to the 9, but not the 8.
Yep. Although, will they arrive on the 8 in time? Because
I still argue I like the 8 Pro design more.
Yeah, I get that. It's very. I do find myself using the 8 Pro quite a lot. Well, I did, but now there's the Vivo in the house. That's not quite as true as it was, but I always want to, you know, the vision with the 8 Pro when I bought it was, this is the one Google said they're going to support it for 7 years, so I'm going to see if I keep it for seven. My intention is to keep it for 7 years and see if they stick to their word, because we all know what Google's like. Yes, the Pixel 4i 5G is still here. It's still a family spare, the sat-nav phone that people borrow when they need it. It has a cracked screen, which means it's worthless, but the screen's fully functional. So we just keep that one as a spare, and it means everyone looks after their phones because they don't want to end up using it. Far cheaper than insurance. then I said the Surface Duo is still here. I did at various points think about moving it onto the Duo DE firmware to get Android 16, and even reached out to our favourite helper in that regard to see if he would help me do it. And then actually, to be honest, I never followed through because I decided just to leave it on stock for the purposes that I use it for. And I noticed that, I remember some feedback from Steve saying it was a bit of a battery hog and some other stuff with Duo DE, so I decided to stay put.
I did get Mike Warner to put the thing on my Duo 2, and frankly, I kind of regret it, to be honest, because I decided to put 16 on it and not 15, and it's really, really buggy, and it looks like the developer's gone AWOL on the whole project. So I might end up sending it back to Mike and getting him to put 15 back on it, to be honest, or even just put it back as it was.
Yeah. In fact, because it was Mike that I reached out to, because I'm like, I haven't got time to do it, you know, for a bit of beer money, would you flash it? And we just never got round to sorting it out, because our paths didn't keep crossing.
But, thank God for Mike.
yeah, I'm sure I could have done it, but then I heard, like, Steve's comments, your comments, I think, Ted, on it, and I just decided to leave it as is.
Yeah.
So, and then... at work, I still have an Apple iPhone 12 for work, which is really just a multi-factor authentication device. I don't think I've ever taken a call on it in the nearly 5 years that I've had it. No, not 5 years, 4 years. I've only had that one 3 years, but I might have only done one work call on it, and it's most of the time it's Teams if I need to. So it doesn't really get much used as a phone.
Okay, so what about this retro gaming thing on the Surface Duo? If it's legal, tell us about what you do and how you do it.
Well, I do have a large retro gaming collection, so I do have backups of my own games, and you can basically use the Surface Duo to emulate most Nintendo, various other gaming platforms. And the one that it's really good at is the Nintendo DS, because the DS was a dual screen device.
Yeah.
And, you know, my older eyes benefit from the fact that the screens on the Surface Duo are so much bigger than the Nintendo DS. So I actually forget the name of the emulators, because there's two different ones. The one's Dolphin from memory, and the other one I forget the name of, but I don't know if they're still available on the Play Store. And that was actually the other reason for keeping that Surface Duo, because I'd only put them on that device, and when they take stuff off the Play Store, as occasionally happens, that meant I would, at the time when I wanted to put it on the Duo 2, I wasn't able to,
because
there was some dispute going on, which I believe got resolved. But
right.
you can do Game Boy and all sorts, just like you can on most Android phones.
Is it not horribly pixelated though? Because I've got a 3DS XL here still.
Yep.
And when I look at the screen on that, it looks horribly pixelated. So have they upsampled it or something?
Yeah, they do some clever scaling and stuff that goes on. So it doesn't always work with every game, but it works pretty effectively. I mean, right. It's true of all the different emulators these days. Some of them are stunning.
Cool.
Yeah, and then So what am I currently using? Well, the daily is currently the S25 Ultra, but its days may be numbered. And I use that alongside the Samsung Galaxy Watch 7 that I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I do have the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7, as we mentioned earlier. That's my kind of regular second phone. And I've come very close to using it as a primary a few times, but I've never quite done it.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
And it's... why not? The real reason, I think, is battery life. And the second is, it is just that little bit bulkier. I mean, the S25 Ultra is not slim by any comparison. It's a bit of a, you know, it has a heft to it. But in terms of depth, it's definitely slimmer. It's just easier to carry. I don't know. It's weird. And it also, you know, the screen on the front of an Ultra is still slightly wider than that on the Fold 7. And I think that's really the only reason. Also just the pain of swapping backwards and forwards between the two. I have it set up so that I don't have to do things like swap WhatsApp over to it. And it's got a separate SIM in, and I can just forward the calls to it and things. So it's easy to take and just be the only device, and I do. But if I'm going to somewhere, say a racetrack or motorsport event, I often won't take the Fold unless I really need it. Particularly if it's going to be dusty or wet, I think the Ultra would survive better.
Mm.
So,
need the V5,
and the cameras aren't quite as good on the Fold 7 either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the zoom in particular. Now you're starting to understand why I went V5. why I've gone Vivo. So literally in the last week, don't tell the other half. I appear to have acquired an Oppo Find X9 Pro and a OnePlus Watch 3 to go with it. So, and the rationale for that is, yes, the Oppo all the stuff that I've seen for the Oppo is that it, or Oppo, sorry, Ted, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, it does a much better job on the photos that I've seen of the natural colors, and it's one thing that's bugged me for a little while more with the Pixel, which I used to use for the zoom, compared to the Ultra. The Ultra zoom is fantastic. It's low light stuff, really good, and I think the Vivo will give it a run for its money. I haven't yet bought the telephoto lens for the Vivo. And I say,
the teleconverter. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're tempted then.
Yes. Yes, I am. And that's the prime reason for going with that.
You will be in trouble then. That's the smarty tube thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't realise there's a full Hasselblad kit for it as well, which gives you a grip. And
yes, yeah.
Other as well, which I actually only stumbled across by accident. I probably don't need that.
You're speaking like someone, Jeremy, who holds photography with their phone very highly.
Generally, Ted, I would say no. And I'm usually the person that's taken a video rather than the photos. Yeah. But I guess like most people, I've accumulated a lot of photos on my phone of family life and celebrations and all of those sort of things. And I always used to favour the Pixel for its photos because of its ability to just do snap and shoot and get good picture. But sometimes the processing on that is a little bit... No, it's not what it used to be. It's less natural, right? And I think the Samsungs have improved with the Ultra, but the Vivo certainly... The Oppo certainly has me intrigued. Whether I still have both the next time I'm on PSC will be a different matter.
Can I just interject and explain one more time for those that haven't heard me say this before, the reason I say Oppo as Oppo, and it goes back to when Steve and I had a guest on the show years ago, and he had worked for the company, and he'd worked out in the Far East with the company, and he was the one that told us that it was pronounced Oppo. And so I thought that was pretty much sound advice if you've got someone that used to work for the company. But you're right, everyone else says Oppo. And it was just him. Carry on.
No,
I was gonna say, Joe, he's got your watch there, hasn't he?
I've got the two. I would love the watch three. I had it for a little while, but I had to give it back to that fella. And do you know that Oppo actually do a very similar watch?
Yes.
You could pair up with it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the differences are. I think it's pretty much the same.
I think it probably is. It was the Oppo Watch X or something, maybe?
Yeah, something
like that. Yeah, well, so the background to this is that, the reason I went on this journey and started listening to PSC back in 2020, I was kind of like, what is it that I replaced my favorite phones of all time, which used to be the OnePluses, and particularly the OnePlus 7T Pro, which we still have in the house. It's still going strong. My son still uses it as a backup phone because he has a Sony Xperia 1 Mark V these days, remember?
Nice.
But the OnePlus phone is the phones I always used to love. They just had good screens. They used to be very responsive. Batteries on them used to be amazing. I used to love the fast wire charging and all that. And that's the other attraction of the Oppo, in that it's a 7,500 milliamp hour battery with ultra fast wired charging. I mean, because it's a 7,500 milliamp hour battery with the whatever they call it, hypercharge or whatever it's called. I can't even remember what it's called now, but it's, it's about 80 minutes to fully charge that from flat. Although I've also found if you just plug it into our favorite Ugreen 100-watt grid, it seems to charge almost as fast.
Yeah, they're very good, aren't they?
They are. And the battery life is the two things that are common between the Oppo Find X9 Pro and the OnePlus Watch 3.
Yeah,
and that is one of the main things. So you can genuinely go out for a day, taking photos and stuff, hammering the phone, and you get to the end of it, and you didn't need a battery bank, you didn't need to plug it in.
I dare say you could go a whole weekend with both of them.
I think you probably could. Yeah.
Yeah.
I look forward to testing it.
Yeah. It's good stuff. How do you like Color OS?
Well, that's the other thing, you see. So you guys were both talking about your Honor phones in your top fives.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had Honor ones before, but not look, and I really didn't get on too well with their UI. And I'm sure it's evolved, and I probably ought to go back and revisit it. And the same is with the Xiaomi. Let me get my pronunciation right there again. Because I looked at the 15 Ultra and was paying attention to the 17 that I think we've heard about or were rumoured. And then I decided that the Oppo was better because it's better battery, faster charging, better for telephoto, perhaps. We'll see. So,
but you're okay with Color OS?
Color OS, yeah. I like Color OS, actually, because it's not too dissimilar to...
Oxygen.
What? Oxygen, yeah. That used to be on the OnePlus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jeremy, just quickly, if Oppo Find X Ultra comes out, would you be tempted?
No, I don't think I would. From what I've read, I don't think I would. No. In terms of what the rumors are, because from memory, the battery size goes down. They are improving the cameras, but it's mainly, I think it was the ultra wide, which is something I tend not to use.
Oh, yeah, that's not that exciting, is it?
No. But of course, it depends whether those rumors are actually accurate. And who knows? If it turns out to be different and they make a decent trade-in, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Watch this space then.
But hopefully not, because the other thing that I really like about the X9 Pro is that it is smaller in the hand than the Ultra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if not more capable.
What colour have you got?
Since I always put mine in a black case, it makes no difference on the colour. I usually just buy the colour that I think will have the highest resale value.
Yeah.
It's a black one, or the dark grey, whatever they call it.
Titanium charcoal, apparently.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah. Why they didn't just call it... Well, it's not black, but yeah.
Actually, I really like the velvet red one. That looks really classy.
Yeah, that's the one I would want, yeah.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. So, yeah, it looks very much like an iPhone, I have to say. I'm looking at pictures of it now.
It does. Yep.
They're just all copying each other, aren't they? And in a sense, it's a shame. But, you know, if that's what people want and that's doing well, then so be it, I guess.
I preferred the circular camera module they had before. But by all accounts, it is a fantastic phone.
Yeah. Can't argue with that. Right, yeah, well...
It's certainly doing well initially. The one thing I will say about it is the software for doing a switch over to the Oppo from another phone was rubbish.
Ah.
And didn't go... I'm trying to remember. Did I do it from the... No, tried doing it from the S25 Ultra. And what I should have probably have done is go back and do it from the Pixel. Because I have them both almost set up exactly the same, and I think it would have worked better from the Pixel to the Oppo than it would have done from the Samsung.
Or just not do it at all.
Well, basically, that's what I did. I basically reset the thing and just set it up manually.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times recently, and it's just so much cleaner. I think it's okay if you're going from, you know, Samsung to Samsung and you're using their tool, and that's fine, and that tends to be very, very good indeed. Or Apple to Apple, you know, or Pixel to Pixel. But when you start to chop and change these, I don't think they work brilliantly well. There's always something that is not quite right, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, then.
You have gremlins on, don't you?
Unknown to some people, maybe, Steve's Litchfield still has his Rants and Raves website, which we'll link to in the show notes. But a carryover from when he was on PSC was that he invited guests to do Rants and Raves. And I see from the show notes here that, Jeremy, you've followed the history of that and have done likewise.
I have, yeah. I've got a couple of raves and a rant. So I suppose my one about the transfer of between the S25 and the Oppo was a rant, actually. So we'll go on. We'll go to a rave next.
Okay.
So, a lot of folks I know have heard of CEX, the sort of place for buying a second-hand used phones and tech. But in the UK, have you come across cashgenerator.co.uk? And these guys are also a chain of stores that do a similar thing. They don't have as good a warranty. They tend to only have 12 months. But their prices tend to be better. And I thought I'd mention them because I've actually used them for a few bits recently. Not actually for a phone, actually. I've used them for a couple of Chromebooks recently, a couple of Switch games, and various things in the run up to the holidays, and the ratings they have are fairly clear. They have a wider range than CEX, so you get a better idea of what you're going to get in terms of the quality and what's included. But I found the delivery to be really quick, and I also found that the prices tend to be good compared to both CEX and something like eBay, right? And obviously you get the warranty. And don't confuse them with cashconverters.co.uk, which is another one of these.
I think Cash Converters is more well-known, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is, because I think they used to advertise, but Cash Generator, I don't think does. I also found you can quite easily just, you know, you can order from any of their stores online, and it all works fine, because
I've amazingly just discovered that they've got one in Colwyn Bay. I never knew that. There's nothing on the north coast of Wales. Usually there's none of these sorts of things. There's one in Colwyn Bay.
There you go. I found them really good. I used to have one of them, and I cannot actually tell you which one it was, in my local town.
Right.
And occasionally you used to look in a window and you'd think, is this store actually open? Because some of the stuff in the window is so old that I'm kind of going back to Nokia and, you know, Sony Compact Zs and things like that. You know, some of the stuff they had was almost museum worthy.
It's interesting that the hub of the physical stores are littered through Manchester and Liverpool and Birmingham, and not one in... there is one in London, in Slough. That's it. So they're obviously a kind of northern thing, aren't they?
They are indeed. I think I've seen their stores though.
Before,
have you?
Perhaps they closed their ones down south.
Right.
I'm sure I've seen them before.
They just relocated them. There's two on the south coast. It looks like there's one in Brighton. Yeah, there's one in Brighton. Anyway, so they do a good deal, do they?
Yeah, they do a good deal and good stuff. Yeah, I said the Chromebook and stuff I had. You know, great price. I mean, I know I looked at them for the OnePlus watch, actually, but they had one, but it was the smaller one, not the big one. So,
okay.
But they're good prices.
Yeah. We'll bookmark that alongside Kex then.
Yeah. And then another rave, as people know, regular listeners will know, I kind of like my audio and, although I do have a new set of earbuds in the house, which are actually, the Realme Buds Air 7 Pros, which work really well with the Oppo Find X9 Pro, because that doesn't support LDAC, which is, Ted, you know, is Sony's standard, right?
Yeah.
They support LHDC, which tends to be the sort of Chinese standards for high-res audio. And, the Realme Buds Air 7 Pro, highly rated, because if you manage to pick them up when they're on offer, like I did, they were only £63 for the pair instead of £129 off Amazon, believe it or not. So, highly recommended if you can get them for that kind of price, or maybe even the £129, because the ones they compare really favorable with are my Nothing Ears that I've talked about before. Which also support LHDC, but they don't fit in the ear as well as the Realme's. That's right. What I find. But anyway, but I also, the reason I was looking for different ones is because I never got round to upgrading my Sony WF-1000XM4s, if you want the letters, those earbuds, because...
those are the buds. I thought they were the headphones.
I never got around to replacing them, but when the batteries started to die in those earbuds, and I tried a set of fives from someone and didn't like those, and then the sixes came out, and I wasn't completely convinced on those either, so I decided I was going to stick with my Sonys, and I looked at the iFixit video for changing the batteries on them and thought, beyond my skill level. So I looked around and I found this guy on eBay who does battery replacements. And this was back in January 2025. I sent them off to him. He charged me £50 plus the postage to send them back. And he changed the batteries in the earbuds with genuine ones. And I can report 100% success. Wow. And if you're able to, you could put the link in the in the show notes. He repairs other Sony earbuds too. If you look at the other listings that he had, look at his listings on eBay, as well as things to do with TVs and all sorts, circuit boards and things like that. He's obviously a bit of an electronics guy and focuses on sort of the repairs that he knows and can achieve.
Good for
him. Highly recommended.
Good for him, yeah.
And then my last, finally, my rant, last rant, silicon carbon batteries. Come on, Samsung, Apple and Google, get your act together.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese are so far ahead on this. But to be fair, the Chinese phones aren't sold in the US. And in the US in particular, I think the Californian legislation is holding them back, because that's the one that came in couple of years ago, maybe, that required Samsung, Apple, and Google. Anything, any consumer device, electronics device, sold in the sold in California with more than a $100 price tag, I think it is, has to be supported for 7 years, which is why Apple, Google, and Samsung, who wanted to sell it in California, all extended their support periods for their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, Apple has a good battery replacement program. We all know that. You can go into your Apple store and you can have your battery replaced. It's still harder for Google and Samsung to get that done. And I think they're just, as well as the Note 7 in Samsung's history, you know, I think they're just reluctant to move to the silicon carbon batteries because they don't have the experience of the Chinese, and it's still not proven to be to last 7 years, right? There are Chinese phones around that have done 3, 4. If I look at the stats on the, I worked out the stats for the Oppo Find X9 Pro, right? Because it's got such a big battery, you don't have to charge it as much, as often. Mm-hmm. So you effectively get twice the life of most phones just because you only have to charge it half as much. And then that means it's going to could last you twice as long just in that sense before you even get to the how many cycles will the silicon carbon do versus lithium ion or whatever, you know. So I think the Chinese are way ahead, and they'll just be playing catch. They'll just be playing catch up with Samsung, Apple, and Google.
Well, they say it's healthy to do 80%, isn't it? So
yeah,
you could do that with that device.
Oh, easily. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do. To be fair, I do 80% on my Samsung Ultra most of the time, and even my Fold. It's only when I'm going out for a heavy day that I'll make sure I charge to 100% beforehand.
It's they're still frightened of it, really, aren't they? And as you say, Jeremy, there's not enough time passed to check the silicon carbon out for long periods of time.
Yeah.
And so you've got to be a bit careful. Incidentally, I had a Anker battery with one of these powerhouses replaced by Anker because it went tits up. And when I was getting this battery back from them, they told me that the best way to charge it was to let it to get down to 30%, and then every time it because I said to them, look, these devices are for emergencies. Most people are going to use these for emergencies. You put it in a cupboard, and when you've got a power cut, you get it out, and you expect it to work. And they said to me, what you need to do is every 3 months go and top it up, but ideally wait till it gets down, you know, drain it down to 30% and then charge it back up. So this whole 80% thing, I know that's been spoken about. Steve used to speak about that as well. But they were saying something slightly different, I think.
Yeah, to let it drain. I think that makes sense.
It's similar to the way the Pixels do it, right? Because if you set your Pixel to do the adaptive charge up to 80%, it tells you that it will occasionally charge to 100% by itself.
Yes, that's right.
And, I noticed my Pixel 8 Pro has done that on the last two charges. It's gone to 100. And I, to the extent I even went to check the settings to make sure it hadn't changed.
But I'd never heard anyone say about doing it the other way, you know, drain it down to 30 and then charge it back up. That was new to me. But you'd hope that Anker kind of know what they're talking about.
You would, yeah. Definitely.
Well, we always used to say it was you sort of wanted to charge from 20%. You didn't want to go below 20.
Right.
And in fact, I did a poll a while back, didn't I? And on when people charged, and actually quite a lot of people did start to charge at about 30 when it got to 30%.
Right.
So that
right.
was interesting.
Yeah. But not specifically draining it to make sure it's down to 30%. Anyway, it's just quite interesting, I thought. But yes, you're right. We're all wowing about these silicon carbon batteries, and they appear to be just, you know, the absolutely brilliant and the way forward. But we don't know, do we? In 5 years' time, who knows what will happen?
Well, we'll see how I get on with the Oppo. Maybe it'll still be here and I'll be able to vouch for it. In 4 years' time or 5 years' time.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. Now, as I was saying at the top of the show, Jeremy, you ended up being bon homme at the pub meet, which Joe tried to organise and then wimped out on because he had something better to do.
No. He did organise it, let's be fair.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm never ill as well, so it was really frustrating. I think, other than a few hangovers, that's the only time I've actually been ill. And it happened to be that day.
I'm just joking. Poor Joe. But as a result of that, you actually raised some questions about the whole pub meet thing. Having led that one effectively, you started to ask some questions. So we said that we might have a chat about it on this very show, and here we are.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it then. So the thought I had was, I know, because I remember that Steve chipped in as well, because of course there used to be the meetings that were in London going way back earlier in PSE's time, and Steve also organized a couple out in I know I went to one in the Bracknell area and one in the Twyford area, or maybe twice in the last few years. But you know, it's like, well, we know that the listeners are based far and wide, and I'm talking here about the UK mainland. And I was asking Ted and Joe whether, you know, we should look at trying to see if there were any meetups we could do that weren't kind of in London, depending on where our listeners are. The problem is that MeWe can't tell us where all the listeners are, because it's a private closed platform. So what I thought was we could find out if there's actually enough interest in our listenership and the people on the MeWe platform to see if it's worth looking to organise meetups in any other areas of the UK. And it would kind of depend, I think, on how many people there are in an area. And I suspect that the majority of people wouldn't want to travel too far, right? Spend too much time travelling for this. So maybe the expectation is that most people would want to travel an hour to wherever they're going, assuming that it's relatively, you know, local to them. So, and I think it's also fair to say the meetup's most likely to be at the weekend, but, you know, could be a morning or afternoon, depending on where they are. And I know we've said pub meet, but people might prefer coffee shops, or if it's a morning one, it's a cafe for breakfast or something like that. I've done this before for motorsport groups. So, yeah, because MeWe doesn't tell us where people are located, and we need to understand the level of interest out there, I think the way we would need to approach it to find out if there's interest would be to have a post on MeWe where people get to answer effectively two questions, probably a third: the town or county in which they're based. If they don't want to tell us the town, that's fine, but town's useful for trying to work out where we've got people. And if you're like me and live in Farnborough in Hampshire, then putting Farnborough on its own doesn't help, because there's four Farnboroughs in the UK. one in Kent, one in Farnborough, one in Kent, one in Hampshire, one somewhere up in the Midlands, and I can't even remember where the fourth one is. So town and county would be very helpful. County is the minimum. And if you've got a preference for which meeting time, you know, whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday, a morning or afternoon that suits, that's useful guidance. But obviously we'd look to try and accommodate as many as possible, but we'd always have to end up going with the majority. And if the travel time is higher or lower than an hour, then you should probably state that. And then if enough people were interested based on that, I'm quite happy to identify, you know, collate the information and identify where the hotspots are, and then we can see if we can arrange a meetup.
Do you think that it might be more successful if you got people to respond directly to you and not share in the MeWe group where they live?
That's a good point.
So you set up a kind of an email address and say, right, this email address is set up just for this purpose. So and I'm the only one that will see it, unless you something like that.
Oh yeah. I could take that approach. I mean, I guess we could do both if we want. Do a meet up MeWe post. You can answer there. If you're not comfortable with that, just send the info direct to me, and I can put that contact info in there. I think that's a good idea. And then I think realistically, my expectation is we might end up with one or two meetups outside of London, because I think London has all the connections. It's so well connected with the rest of the country from in general by rail and things like that, that it still works as a central hub. That's my thinking on that. But, you know, maybe we'll end up with, who knows, maybe there'll be one somewhere in East Anglia, if there's enough people, one in the Midlands.
I went to one in Horsham that Steve had organised with Rafe.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, long time ago, and that was very well attended. So Horsham, for those that don't know, is in the middle of Sussex, West Sussex.
Yep.
And I also tried to do one where I lived back in the day in Gloucester. Uh-huh. And no, sorry, it wasn't in Gloucester, it was in Chichester. And I organised it in Chichester, and I got 6 people come to that.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, Jeremy. It just depends where people are and how interested the people are in doing it, because quite a lot of people probably just won't be interested in doing it to begin with. So it's a really difficult data collection job, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm glad Jeremy's volunteered.
Well, you know, Joe, I just attended the last one. Now I can help organise them.
Well, you did more than attend. You hosted. Very well hosted. Thank you for that.
That's all right. Pleasure. My commitment is I'm happy to go. I'm not reliant on, you know, obviously if Joe wants to come along. Wherever we put these, that's where I'm committing to going to those.
Yeah,
so I can be the host if Joe isn't going.
You can go to you can go to the one in Sheffield.
I'm more than willing to travel myself. I'm up for it.
So perhaps you can run with that, Jeremy, and feel your way a bit and see how you can do it, but work some kind of way out to get that data together, and that'd be great. Well done. You can be our PSC pub meet person. There's also the possibility of making it in someone's house. For example, I wouldn't mind at all having a coffee morning in my house, and I don't care if people know where I live, you know. And everyone could just come round. It doesn't have to be in a public building in some respects. I know you kind of lay yourself a bit open in those respects, but I think most people in our closed MeWe group are fairly trustworthy to not run away with the family silver.
Yeah, likewise, I could do a PSC barbecue in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think there are other options as well, Jeremy.
Okay.
Just needs to be thought through a bit more, doesn't it? And good luck.
Thank you. Well, we'll give it a go, and I'll let you know when we post it, so you can also mention it on the on the pod.
Absolutely. Right, let's head for the app wrap. Have you got any apps for us?
I'll be perfectly honest, it's very rare these days that I find a new app and install it. So I was looking through the list of sort of apps that I've got, and I thought, well, I've kind of already mentioned them on previous pods that I've been on. So the obvious one for me to call out was the Realme Link app, which is the partner app for those Realme Buds that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And the reason I like the app so much is because it is very, very close to what the Nothing X app has for the Nothing headphones, which I like as well. And the Realme Link app has some of the best features that Nothing app has, like the personalized sound profile, the ear fit test, and the equalizer, if you want to use that. And the settings that allow you to control the transparency. It's basically very, very, very similar. Highly recommend that app in conjunction with those headphones.
Great. Super. Thank you. Joe, you've got one?
Yes, gone. I have. I've got back. To turn my mic off because my missus had the tap on upstairs. The Honor Connect app I've mentioned previously in other shows, but there's also one called Workstation. I've put a link to the website that's got it all on. So I've paired my Samsung laptop to my Honor devices, and you can screen have the mirror the screen on the, my laptop screen. You can drag and drop files and images onto your laptop. It's really, really seamless, really, really good. And if you've got an Honor device, I highly recommend it.
Do they all have to be Honor devices?
So I've got a Samsung laptop. Also done it with my 17 Pro Max from an Honor device to the 17 Pro Max.
Tablets and...
Yeah, I assume tablets will work as well. So
they're trying hard to do a deal with Apple as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they really want to try and capture some of their Apple users, don't they? They seem to.
Yeah.
It's cross-brand connectivity tool it is. So yeah. Mac devices, Windows devices, yeah. iPhones and iPads. Literally, you've got so much scope there to match up devices, which defeats the need for just to have one brand. I love this because I think you should have openness with all brands, and I want to see more of this. Mm-hmm. Well done, Honor.
Yeah, I agree. Did you have to download, just to be clear, did you have to download the app onto each of the devices, the Samsung laptop, the Pro Max, the iPhone Pro Max app?
Yes. So Honor Connect on the Pro Max, and it's called Workstation on my laptop. Once it's downloaded, you're there. And I also noticed you get the magic ring that you get on Honor devices. Ted will know what I'm talking about with that.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Because one thing I enjoy from my Honor device is my V5 hasn't got a SIM in at the moment. When I had the 8 Pro, I'd get the V5 out and it would tether just straight away without me even doing any connections at all. It'd tether and use the SIM from the 8 Pro. So it's great. I could always use the bigger screen with the V5 as a secondary device without a SIM in it. It's brilliant.
Very good. Nice. Yeah. Nice one. Well done. Okay. That's the app wrapped. The wrap of the app wrap. And, Joe, news and phone news and general news. What's anything worth highlighting?
I didn't actually put this in here. The Z Fold Trifold.
Z? Z? Z?
Z. I know. Do you know what? That's because I was with Sam yesterday, wasn't I? The Z Trifold, which we hate the name of, should be bifold, is probably durable enough. Hinge gives away over 150,000 folds, which is pretty impressive.
Let me take this one because I put it in there. The point was that with the flip phone, when they did the same torture test, they got to 400,000 folds. And with the trifold, what they're saying is that they tried it with 150,000, and that's where it gave way. So it's in other words, nowhere near as robust as the flip devices. And also, we've since this had a jerry-rigged breakdown thingy, and he very easily bent it backwards and just completely buggered the thing. So I think the message is, sorry to drop it on you, Joe, I think the message here was that you know, the trifold or the bifold, whatever you want to call it, is probably not as durable as even the ordinary the folding devices yet. And so this is for people with deep pockets, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting, the video that's on that link where it's just constantly opening and shutting again and again.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a device like that.
The comparison was with when they did it before, though. On the video they did before, they put it up against the Motorola Razr. I think it was the second generation or third generation, I can't remember. And the Motorola Razr gave up long, long before the Samsung Z Flip did. So that was the takeaway from that. But this one is a bit more... concerning, maybe. Sorry,
especially for the price.
Yeah,
especially for the price. It's a lot of money in it. Oh dear. Well, it's durable enough.
Yes, durable enough if you're really, really... somebody in the group said, well, no one's going to do that to a phone, are they? And I said, yeah, but when they do these tests and things, you've got to imagine a situation. For example, the jerry rig test, when, you know, someone... It happens to be open and face down on a seat, and someone sits on it. And if you put that a pressure on it, this is what might happen to it. Whereas with a different device that's more robust, maybe it won't. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes to the torture test.
Yeah, there's also the added addition of like of pocket lint and stuff like that, dust, which is going to make things worse, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh dear. So the next bit of news is about the Xiaomi 17 Ultra with its physical zoom ring around its camera island. I rather like this camera ring. It does look great. But it is intentionally wobbly. Xiaomi have stated that it's like that for a reason, which does make sense. But I can imagine a lot of people get it and go, why is this wobbly?
Yeah,
because again, there's a lot of money. But yeah, I do like the idea of that. I like things that turn and buttons to press. So yeah, especially with when it's a camera. Let's see how that is.
I was trying to find the list of reasons they give for it being wobbly and saying.
Yeah, I've got it here. So it's to avoid jamming, rotation jamming caused by dust or liquid ingress. Both radial and actual movement tolerances are built into the design. It's also when you drop it as well, so it's got that almost like a spongy effect,
right?
Because it can move.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's rigid, that could cause damage quite easily, couldn't it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it does make sense when you read that. Apparently also making a clicking sound, though. That would be a bit frustrating.
Yeah. Mind you, camera units have made clicking sounds. Well, wasn't that in the Pixel? The Pixel camera used to make a sound when you shook it around?
No, all telephotos do, pretty much. And actually, I sent a phone ages ago. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember what the website was called now, but they tried telling me it was broken because it rattles, and I was like, no, that's the telephoto, you idiot.
Right.
Needless to say, in the end, I got the money and some extra £100, so that was good.
Woohoo!
And the next one is about the Honor Magic V6 specs, and I am very excited about this because, I mean, the V5 was a massive move on from the V3 for me. And this looks like they're bumping it up again. A 200 megapixel primary camera, which I'm guessing is going to be similar to what the 400 Pro one is. A large 7,000 milliamp hour battery. The latest Snapdragon chipset, obviously. I mean, there's lots to like. I mean, it's still early rumours. But, yeah, the V5 is amazing. And if they're going to make it even better... it could be my phone of 2026, let's see.
There's no end to it.
Yeah, definitely. Honor Win hands-on.
Oh, I've just seen that, Jeremy, it says that the Z Fold 7 has got 4,400 milliamp-hour battery. So if this has got 7,000, that's a huge difference, isn't it?
Yeah, even the V5 is massively different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Honor Win, if it's 10,000 milliamp hour battery, is a crazy one. Obviously, we won't see this in the UK, I don't think.
Well, we might see it in the UK, mightn't we? But you wouldn't see it in Europe because of the battery size restriction, isn't there, that the EU has at the moment.
Mm.
But we might see it in the UK because I think we're separate for that. Hence the Oppo had the 7,500.
Which Motorola ignore. I've got my 60 Pro here, and it's got a 6,000 milliamp hour battery in it, and it's not supposed to have, according to EU. But that's a story for another day, I guess.
The interesting thing about this Win is it's got a fan in it, the Ultra fan.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's got a very iPhone-y look because it looks similar to the Power, which Ted put on MeWe, which was very bad, copying the orange colour and everything, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a similar look. I don't think this will come to the UK. I think it's going to be a China only. But it's a very interesting device. The fan looks a bit like the Bose speaker. I guess for gaming. I think it must be like a gaming sort of, yeah.
Right.
On a dip their toes in the gaming phone sphere, yeah. So it is a gaming device.
Right. Yep.
Which makes sense. Bigger battery, a fan, Snapdragon Gen 5, Elite Gen 5, 16 gig of RAM. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Looks interesting. But I don't think we'll see it in the UK, sadly.
Yeah.
You could always import it, though.
And not tell customs. The big story of the week was this Clicks device, though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's two flavours of this Clicks device. One of them is more interesting than the other, I think, but the other one might be more useful. And it'd be interesting to get your two takes on what you think here. One of them looks like a BlackBerry smartphone, and it is a phone. You can use it as a phone, but it's very odd-shaped screen. It's a bit like a BlackBerry, a lot like a BlackBerry. And the other one is a snap-on mobile keyboard, which complies with the Qi2 standards and also MagSafe. And so it can be kind of clanked onto the back of a phone in a different way to the way in which Steve's keyboard click thingy was very, very much, you put your phone into it. You didn't just clack it on the back. But anyway, anyone got any thoughts on these two devices?
Jeremy, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Well, the Clicks communicator is the one that looks like the BlackBerry, right? And was supposed to, I think, well, I watched a couple of videos about it, and it did strike me as being very, very BlackBerry-esque and focused on being really more about being able to concentrate just on communication without social media distractions of doing your email and Slack or Teams and things like that, right? That's how was my take on it.
Yeah.
And I think it was $499, isn't it, or something. I'm thinking, for me, I think that ship sailed. I think that's the less interesting device. I think it's probably a niche. I mean, I know when we talk about classifieds later, you know, there was a Unihertz Titan 2 in there. And that, for me, the price point those were going for, is far more interesting than the communicator. So I'm sure it'll have... I used to be a BlackBerry fan, but I just think those days are past. But I'm sure there will be... a fan base within that for that device. For me, though, I think let's just say for the Clicks Power Keyboard, I was that intrigued by it that I've ordered one.
Yeah.
So for me, it's the Clicks keyboard case is the original, the ones that are designed for specific phones. Just way too limiting, because too many of us change our phones too quickly, right? it's no longer, they cost a lot and they're not really reusable after you've sold that device. And for me, you know, my work iPhone 12, the frustration is it's the small one, it's not the Plus, right? And I used to have a Plus because I used to have the 8 Plus, and I used to like the big screen, but I didn't like carrying around three big phones sometimes, or two big phones most of the time. So and I wouldn't want a keyboard that was dedicated to iOS because I'm Android. So this Power Keyboard, I think, because it works with both iOS and Android and loads of other Bluetooth devices. One demo I saw showed it being used with a TV, a smart TV. I just think it makes it far more useful. And I cannot believe that no one's really thought about adding MagSafe to a keyboard before, because it's the obvious way, for me anyway, the obvious way to be able to easily attach it to an existing phone, whether that phone's in a case or not. So, you know, I think the ability to have a single keyboard I can just snap on the back of the work iPhone or take off and stick on the back of the 25 Ultra. To when I really want to use a keyboard because I want to do a longer email than I want, or sometimes things are just easier with the keyboard, right? And you get more screen real estate if you use the keyboard. So I'm fascinated to see what it was, and I thought the £60 pre-ordered price including delivery to the UK was actually pretty good. So I thought, yeah, why not?
So,
as much as I agree with the whole battery pack and that being a much better implementation of the keyboard, I'm actually really excited about the communicator phone.
Excellent. We disagree, Joe. That's always good.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I agree with the product's great, but I really like the look of the phone. And I go through some of the things where it looks really interesting. For example, the little glowing light for VIP, so certain mm-hmm. people that come through, you can have it a colour allocated to them, which is quite cool. Little feature. Again, I love the name, the communicator. Mm-hmm. We always talk about certain devices being communicator device, and that's what the smartphone was originally for. And it's evolved, obviously. But going down the specs, there's some really great stuff there. You can see Michael Fisher's definitely involved with this. Android 16 with 5 years of security updates is not bad, is it? You've got 4,000 milliamp hour silicone carbon, which we said a lot of American brands don't have that. But yeah, silicone carbon battery in there. 256 gigabyte onboard storage, but you've also got expandable storage, which you don't see often these days. Whether that 50 megapixel main camera is a potato camera or not, I don't know, but it's got OIS, so that suggests there's some thought put into it to be decent enough. And a 24 megapixel front camera, like you say, it's probably for Teams and stuff like that, so that's probably good enough for what it's made for. It's got NFC, it's got Bluetooth, it's got Wi-Fi 6. This Ted would like this one. It's got USB-C and wireless charging, which is great. I love the fact that it's got interchangeable backs, and I like the way that mm-hmm. backs curve slightly at the bottom there where you mm-hmm. hold it, because you probably hold it at a certain angle. But there's a leather look one there. Looks really nice.
There was. The leather one did look really good, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot that really does appeal to me. I mean, I want them both. If I'm honest.
Yeah.
What do you think, Ted?
I'm with you, Joe. I think that the communicator is the by far the more interesting and fascinating thing. You know, to be honest, none of this is really of much interest to me, because I've tried hardware keyboards in the last, you know, when they come along, and they're just not for me. I can't use them, and I've got so used to on-screen keyboards. Anyway, Steve Litchfield, when he knew this was coming along, sent me over an audio clip of his thoughts, and I'll plug it into this point in the show, so we can get his thoughts and then come back on what he's been saying about his thoughts. Again, he's favouring the snap-on keyboard rather than the communicator. But yeah, take it away, Steve, and we'll come back in a second.
Hi gang, the Clicks Power Keyboard came out of left field as much as the communicator, which I'm sure Ted and Joe have already or are about to discuss. The two biggest stumbling points to the Clicks keyboard cases for me were that A, they made the cased and keyboarded phones too long in the hand and pocket, and that B, they only fitted the one device. If you changed your phone, then you had to get a whole new Clicks case. The power keyboard looks rather chunky, not least because it includes a small Qi wireless power bank, but it does solve the two main problems. It can be kept in a separate pocket to your main phone and then clacked on when you need to go QWERTY. Plus, you can use it on any modernish iPhone and indeed any Android phone with a MagSafe enabled case, since it's a magnetic attachment and also uses Bluetooth. As per my recent poll on MeWe, I do now think that software keyboards and especially voice input are way faster than tiny little QWERTY buttons, but there are times when, yes, having a keyboard and a full screen of contents, such as a Word or sheet file, might be handy. For such times, there's now the Clicks Power Keyboard, even if it's only going to be used a couple of times a week. The rest of the time, it can live in a pocket. Although by no means a must-buy for most people, at the pre-order pricing of £60, including worldwide delivery, as a MagSafe loving geek, I just couldn't resist. It should be much more flexible than my old iPhone Clicks case, and also currently half the price, and it includes a power bank. It still looks chunky, very chunky, and a little unwieldy in use. But that's what I'll be testing when they actually ship this. Clicks does say that they've used larger buttons and spacing than on the Clicks cases, which is good. I'm cautiously optimistic. Anyway, I can hopefully report back when I next come on the show in the early summer. Bye.
So there you go then. Thanks a lot, Steve. And yes, I'll put a link in the show notes to Steve's poll, which is showing 4-1 coming out against the motion, and that people are much more likely to be happy with keyboards on their screens these days. But as Steve says, you know, I mean, he's still got his other keyboard, his Clicks keyboard, and by his own admission, it sits in a drawer, and he doesn't particularly value it or use it. And I said to him ribbingly that this is just going to go in the same drawer, isn't it? Because he's ordered one. Anyway. It's an interesting thing, and it's interesting to have something different coming along. And any thoughts on Steve's thoughts? I think much of it is probably agreeing with what you were saying, Jeremy.
Yeah, I think the big one for me really was I thought when I looked into it, I thought the fact that the keyboard, the power keyboard, included a power bank. I mean, it was less than 2,500 milliamp hours, I recall. So it's a tiny battery.
Right.
And it was only going to do wireless charging at 5 watts. So it's kind of pathetic, I think, is the the word I'm looking for. You know, it's not going to make a massive difference. I guess in an emergency, yeah, maybe, but it's going to take a while to do the charge, isn't it? So I don't think that's the big thing for me is the MagSafe bit. But like Steve, I look forward to giving it a try. And you know what? If it was somebody else's money, I'd quite happily try a Clicks communicator as well. But it doesn't. Yeah, I like the fact that I did like those clip-on backs, Joe. I agree with you. The leather one looked fab. The only thing, a comment I will make from the videos that I watched is if you go back and watch the videos, the power keyboard looks like a real product now. But I'm sure, and I need to go back. I watched the two videos, and the footage wasn't all the same. But I'm not sure the Clicks communicator was actually a real device they were showing. I think it was very much a mock-up. One was that they were definitely using renders for part of it, like when they had the glowing power button. So I do wonder how close the Clicks communicator is to production, even though I think the power keyboard is very close because it's due to ship in April, May from memory.
That light around the button on the side is really nifty. I remember another, wasn't it Oppo that had that around their power button? I've got a feeling it was, you know. They had a notification light built into the surround of the, I think it was the X3 Pro that I had that had it. And that's a really nice feature, I think. Really nice.
Looks like there's an alert slider there as well on the left-hand side.
Yes, there is one. I remember that from the video. It's just like the OnePlus slider or the iPhone one. You can basically just turn notifications off, or, you know.
But I maintain, Joe, that these will just end up in drawers. People are not going to use them, and people such as Steve, by his own admission, it will just come out now and again as a toy to tinker and play with. In real world usage, I just can't see most people using it. Whereas I think I agree with you, Joe, the communicator was much more expensive as that it might be, might be the more interesting device. So you're going to buy me one?
I am tempted to get one for us to play with, Ted. I actually really am. So watch this space. Just going back to Steve, though, 60 quid's not bad, is it? When you think about it,
no.
It's a little power bank as well.
Yeah.
It's not a bad price.
I think it'll be interesting to see if they can get a get that Clicks communicator on contract, then I think actually it'll be something that might start to sell.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a separate device that people have to buy, I'm less sure. Particularly when you listen to some of the videos and they're positioning it as, you know, most people these days already carry two phones, two devices, but make one of them different. And they were definitely targeting iPhone users. Of course, it's a US company and iPhones dominate there. So maybe that's less of a surprise.
Well, as a business use device, it would be amazing, yes, wouldn't it, I think?
It could well be, yeah.
Anyone remember the Facebook phone? which I think was made by HTC, but it looks very similar to this. The little Facebook phone, which was a QWERTY, following the line of the Nokia E71 and E6 and all of that, but it looked very similar to this one. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, HTC it was,
Was it HTC? Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I had one of those, and that was the. I think that's why I had a Facebook account, because of that phone. I thought, I must open one. Anyway, there you go. Time is running away from us, unfortunately. So let's leap straight into, unless there's anything you're burning to add into the mix, Joe, we'll leap straight into photo of the week.
No, just quickly, Sam's pre-ordered the Clicks Communicator as well, which is another reason why I'm thinking I should get it.
Yeah, to compare notes with him. Right, okay, I picked this week a shot taken by Craig Mulvaney with his Google Pixel 9 Pro, and it's of a snowy golf course. He's cropped it to square with no other edits, and he was in Tynemouth at the time on the 3rd of January. And I just love the whole artistic Fargo-style white expanse of loads of foreground, and the foreground sliding into the shadows of the trees across the middle of the frame, and the trees are all snow-driven from the left. You can see quite clearly that each of the trees is white on the left and brown on the right. And then you move up above the tree line and you get almost back to the same pure white, but not quite the white of the snow, because they're clouds, of course. Lovely detail, great composition. And I think that was an absolutely right decision to go with the 1x1 square aspect. And as Scott Brady said in the group when Craig posted this, worthy of hanging on any wall. And I really, really like this. So, Jeremy, what, any thoughts?
And when you just said about worthy of hanging on any wall, and I was about to say it would look fantastic as a canvas on a wall just before you said that. Yeah. I think it looks really good. I particularly like the fact that it's sort of like just like these three bands. It's sort of, to your point about the way it's been framed.
Yeah,
I think it's just lovely. The detail. Yeah. Either that, or it's next year's Christmas card.
It looks a bit like a Christmas card, doesn't it, Jack? Oh.
Yeah, controversially, I think I'd go 16x9 and just cut some of the top and bottom off a little bit. But I do love it. I think it's gorgeous. I'm a sucker for greys and silvers, and that's got a lot of grey in there, which is good for me. And, yeah, it's beautiful.
We've got one question for Craig, though, Jeremy and I, which is, on the right-hand side, almost in the middle, there's a vertical line just underneath the last base of the tree. And we've looked closely at that, and we can't work out what it is. And I reckon it's probably a hair on the lens or something, or on the sensor or whatever, but it looks like we couldn't work out what it was, but it doesn't look as though it was something in the snow. But so do let us know. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it's a stick sticking up out of the snow.
Yeah, it could be.
Anyway, there you go.
Like a cricket stump.
Yeah, well done, Craig. Great shot. Really, really like it. Just before we go, classifieds time. If you want to join our classifieds group where you can buy and sell with our MeWe members, you'll have to email me and talk about that. It is a closed members-only group, and at this time we usually have a pick of what we see in there. It's quite slim pickings this time, isn't it, Jeremy?
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah, really slim. Made choosing really hard. Do you want me to go with one?
Yeah, go with yours.
My choice, okay, well, I already have a Pixelbook Go, which is in a non-phone that's in there. Otherwise, I'd have gone for that, but because I highly rate those. Mm-hmm. But the due to the lack of phones, my next choice, bringing my retro gaming bit back, would be the Steam Deck that's in there, because it's the OLED one. And that would be the one I would fancy with somebody else's money.
400 and something pound, wasn't it, I think, from memory.
That's right. Like 420. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Very nice. Okay, I'm going to pick the Samsung Galaxy Watch Ultra 47mm because I've got one and I don't need one, so I wouldn't be buying it. But I absolutely rave about it. If you're going to bake yourself into the Samsung system, I just think it's great. And you know what I'm going to say, Joe? The best feature for me is that it's got a really good speaker on it. And I it's basically a music machine for me on my wrist, and I just love it. But yeah, it's a bit more tricky to get music onto the hard drive of the drive inside it if you don't use it with a Samsung phone. But it's not impossible. But anyway, here's one for sale, £275, which I think is a real bargain, and I recommend it. Was there anything left for you to pick, Joe?
There's a couple of things I was thinking about. I mean, there is a Pixel 8 Pro, and I did say I like the design of that. Only £295. So that's not bad.
Mm.
It's got 2 years warranty still as well. Yes, that's not bad.
That's a 256 gig version, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good device for that money. But I also do like the look of the Surface laptop that Mark Peters has put up for £500 plus delivery, 13-inch Surface laptop, because they're normally pretty pricey, them. It's not got the highest chipset from Snapdragon. It's the X Plus rather than the X Elite. But yes, a lovely, lovely machine, that.
Super. Okay. Classifieds is where all that happens. Links in the show notes, as always, which you can find on our website, which is at phonesshowchat.uk, double S in the middle. If you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that at paypal.me/Ted Salmon. And if you want to buy Joe a coffee, you can do that at paypal.me/Hickey85. Otherwise, all of our stuff is on my website at tedsalmon.com. It's also in Podhub UK, which Steve maintains, and that's about it, really. We will be back next week with another show, because we've got the catch-up show with Jim Fowl, and there will be loads more talk about keyboarded devices on that show, and so we'll move a lot of what we've said into that show next week as well, no doubt, and we'll get Jim's take on keyboards and TCL Next Paper and all sorts of the Titan 2, all sorts of lovely stuff. So thanks for listening. Sorry it's been a bit long, but apparently an hour and a half is our limit, which we're now at. So we'll catch up with you next week. Thank you very much, Jeremy, for joining us. It's been great having you on as a guest. Anything last words for you?
No, a delight as always. Thank you. And great. More to come on those pub meets.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we'll look forward to you doing whatever you're going to do with that, and we'll certainly help out if we can. Joe, any thoughts?
Just excited for 2026.
Yay. Happy New Year once more. And we'll catch you next week. Absolutely, definitely next week with an extra PSC. So take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.